Barack Obama. And I want to tell you why I support Senator Blanche Lincoln.
Hello, this is President Bill Clinton. I'm calling to tell you why I endorse Sean Patrick Maloney for Congress.
Hi, this is Governor Sarah Palin. I'm calling on behalf of my friend Joe Miller, who's running for U.S. Senate.
Now, have you ever gotten one of those calls? What do you do with it? I mean, some of them go to the answering machine, but do you listen or not? Well, evidently you do. That's at least according to a survey that is out. Spencer Kimball, Emerson College Scholar in Residence, joins us here on POTUS to discuss it. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Tim. It's an honor to be on your program.
Well, I appreciate that. So let's talk about this. I mean, these robocalls or auto calls that are made, for people who don't understand, what do you consider one for your research?
Any pre-recorded message that gets sent over either the telephone or voice over internet.
Okay.
Fine.
All right. So now how did you go about finding out? According to this answer, that what you found is that 3 out of 4 people, or 75%, listened to over 19 seconds of a message, which is about 40 words. 97% listened to at least 6 seconds of these pre-recorded calls. So how does that translate into action, or does it?
Well, we're not sure about that. What we were testing was the conventional wisdom that nobody listens to auto calls. We were sitting in the class last spring, and students had received auto calls from former President Bill Clinton. And we started talking about, is this an effective means of communication for a campaign? And so we worked with a third-party provider who was able to give us data sets for 157 different projects with a total of about 385,000 live answered calls. And in the data sets, it gives you the length that people are actually listening. So instead of having to call people up and ask them, did you listen to this call? You know, you get social biases where people are afraid to really give you what's really happening. We were able to track and monitor exactly how long they were listening for, and it really went against conventional wisdom, where you would think 75% of people would have hung up within 6 seconds, and it turns out the complete opposite occurred.
So it's a real quantitative measure of what people's behavior is, as opposed to asking them what their behavior is. You're actually tracking their behavior.
Exactly. We find that the self-reports can lead to findings that are not substantiated in practice. And what really, you know, drove it was the idea that if they were really ineffective, why are all these campaigns doing it? Why do senators and congressmen make auto calls as part of their franking program? And it turns out there's a very clear reason. It's because they work.
What kind of calls did you use? And I ask that because I just played a couple of examples with President Obama making the call, Sarah Palin making a call, Bill Clinton making a call. Each of them opened up with their identifying themselves. And one wonders, is it typically the case that the identity comes first, or is there a statement of an issue, or did you mix it up? How did you go about researching that?
Well, that's one of the limitations that we had. We didn't match up if it was a U.S. Senate race or a state rep race that was making the calls, because it really didn't matter. It was across the board that they were being listened to over 19 seconds by 75% of the answers. And in future research, we definitely want to drill down and see, does it make a difference? You know, when Bill Clinton calls, are you getting 90% listening to the message, as opposed to Joe candidate calling, where you're getting a shorter listen response? One of the we collected the data was based on 2012, the last week of the election. So most of the projects were on that Monday before the election, and that might have biased our results, and that because the election was, you know, so front of mind for people, that they really were now tuned into the race. And so this year we hope to expand the research and take a look at calls that are made previous, voter ID calls that are being used with this automated technology, and to see, are these being listened to as well, to test the effectiveness.
Again, we're speaking with Spencer Kimball, Emerson College Scholar in Residence, who teaches the Political Communication and Communication Studies capstone courses at Emerson. I wanted to ask about that specifically, partly because I was imagining, and I would believe, although I can't necessarily prove this, that if, for example, if I'm a Democrat or an independent, even in some cases, and I hear one of those people, I will react differently. If I'm a Democrat, I hear President Clinton call, I'm going to maybe listen a little longer. If it's Sarah Palin, I'm just going to hang up right away. And so I wondered if that makes the difference between the 97% who listen to at least 6 seconds, and then they hear if it's something they care about. Then they're on to the 75% who listen to the next 15 or 20 seconds.
But Tim, that's what our research is going to show. That's what we're going to be looking at this year. So hopefully you'll have me opportunity to come back and I can give you that answer.
Okay. And of course, then one will want to know if they actually make people react. And is there one other thing about this? Is there a demographic breakdown? Because I can only imagine that robocalls are much more difficult with cell phones. And we're seeing more and more that, for example, young people are just using cell phones. They don't have hard lines. And I wonder if that makes a difference.
Well, not only is it difficult to reach cell phones, it's illegal to make automated phone calls to cell phones. Congressman Lee Terry last year, 2 years ago, tried to pass a bill that would allow these automated phone calls to cell phones, and that barely even got a whiff in committee. So,
I still get them, though.
Well, technically, under the FCC, it's a $16,000 fine for every auto call that is sent to a cell phone. And the FCC did an audit this summer where they audited the entire industry, and they put out some sensors. They didn't actually find any companies, but one of the big companies was, I think, GOPcalls.com. They got a sensor of $4.9 million. They didn't actually have to pay it, but supposedly if they do it again, the FCC can come down harder with fines. So they are illegal to cell phones. There's movements on both sides to open up that portal because, as you said, 40% of young people use cell phones primarily as their, all of my students, none of them have a landline in their dorm anymore.
Right.
So in order to reach this demographic, that will be an essential key using this form of technology.
If people want to see this, where can they find this this piece, this research? Is it online?
It is online. It's you can find it on the Emerson website. There's a link. You can send me an email at spencer_kimball@emerson.edu. And it's going to be published in the American Behavioral Scientist this spring, an academic peer-reviewed journal.
All right. We're looking forward to that. And, yes, we will follow up when you get more research on this. Spencer, thanks for being on the show today.
Tim, thank you very much for having me.
Spencer Kimball, Emerson College Scholar in Residence. By the way, the Twitter handle at Emerson College, an interesting study on how people react when those auto calls come in. Yeah, they come in there and the first 97% listen to the first 6 seconds or so. 75% listen to the first 19 or 20 seconds, translates to about 40 words. That's an impression. You make it enough and you get people maybe to change their mind. But we'll follow up as more research comes out on this.